Paul Mayer's Children's Television Archive.
I might have been 6 years old, walking past a drugstore, and a particular toy, a small car, I think, caught my eye. I said, "Gee, you know, Dad, can I have that?" And he said, "Sure." So he went in and he bought four of them. There were only four of us kids at the time. Four identical small cars. He treated us all very equally. He was a fun guy to be around.
What did he do when he came home from work? Did he have any hobbies? Did he read you stories or?
No. Oh, never read a story. Jesus, he invented stories. And even much smaller, and then I remember with my younger brothers, of which I have four. Now, he liked to sing. He was a very musical guy. So he would sing, not lullabies, but old minstrel songs and stuff he'd done in or heard in vaudeville. And he had been in vaudeville also, doing chalk talks. But he picked up a lot of the old, in the, Burt Williams was a great, great black entertainer and did a lot of songs that Phil Harris had done later. Burt Williams had a jillion imitators in those days. He was on Broadway and the imitators, many of whom were white and would put on blackface. And do Burt Williams numbers in vaudeville, and there was one on every bill, and Dad would pick up on those songs. But yeah, he told great stories, but he didn't read them. You know, they were figments of his imagination, all based on fantasy.
So he knew some people there at Capitol Records, and he was doing voices prior to the Bozo the Clown. Was that Alan Livingston that you first met?
Al Livingston, yeah, started the Bozo the Clown records, and Dad had done various other voices for them. So when the Bozo thing came along, nobody else, I don't think, was even considered. He just said, "Hey, Pinto, come on in and do this thing." It was the first album to sell over 1 million copies.
Was it Bozo at the Circus? Was that the one?
Or? I think that might have been the first one, but I'm not sure.
I have that one at home.
Yeah, I think that was
the
first
old, one. The old Capitol record with the big jacket.
Yeah.
And have one, Bozo Goes Under the Sea or something like that.
I suggested that, because I was on the second album doing some voices, which I think was Bozo's Barnyard or Bozo on the Farm or whatever, was the second album. And
but that became a hit, though, huh?
Oh, they were all hits. The first one was the first one album to sell over 1 million copies. Wow, they started cranking them out then. A writer named Walter something, very nice guy, wrote them, and it was his, and Alan took credit for writing it too, of course. It was the first album, you know, you play it and then turn the page, so it was a very unique thing, read along and have your mom read along and listen to the record. Actually, the record is doing the read along. And so she wanted to turn the page. So it was very successful in Bozo's on the Farm or whatever. And I did some chicken, talking chickens or talking dogs or something. But I was into scuba diving, not scuba, well before scuba, snorkel diving then. And underwater's always enchanted me. So I suggested to Alan, I said, "Why don't you do a thing called like Bozo in the Ocean or Under the Sea or whatever?" He said, "Yeah, gee, that's a great idea." He said, "Give me some more ideas on it." And I said, "I'll write you up, you know, 3 or 4 pages on it," which I did. And the thing was submitted to Alan, And the next thing I know, I hear they're going to do a Bozo Under the Sea. I called his office and I could never get a hold of him, nor was I engaged to do any of the voices on it. So I might have sent him a bill, or I also later than that did talk to an attorney and had him send a letter. I stopped and thought, wait a minute, I could be jeopardizing Pinto's thing. Got no response from the letter at all. And so I let the thing go. And that was it. But that was the Bozo Under the Sea thing. And incorporating a lot of the types of fish that I use. Obviously, you use a shark, which is snarling. Guys,
yeah, I have it has a fold-out picture.
The octopus, whatever it is, I forgot.
Swordfish.
The weak fish has a weak little voice or whatever. I've forgotten rid of the characters we had in it.
And so that became so popular that they eventually picked it up on a television show. Was it KTLA you mentioned?
KTTV. They did their show down in the old Beacons building here. And that was about the same time I was opposite my dad.
As Buck.
No, I was doing Nutsy.
Nutsy the Clown.
And so he was over KTTV. The guy that worked puppets on Dad's Bozo show then is Lieutenant Dan Cook with the LA Police Department. He's the spokesman every time we have somebody, a police-related shooting or whatever, Dan comes on, or he's a great PR guy. He's done a great job. He's still into puppets, and he still loves fantasy, and he'll never be over it.
And so that went on for him for about, well, 4 years, 5 years, something?
I don't think it was that long. You mean the Bozo show on KTTV? I don't think it lasted that long. I'm not sure. Maybe a year. Stu Phelps, a guy I see frequently, directed it. Stu was a young director then.
Was he still doing Goofy at the same time as that? Or?
I think during that time, he had left Disney. And he was one of the few voice people. Once you left Disney, you were out completely.
Really?
Oh, wow, that was it. And he'd gone to Florida and come back. But later on, they were calling him back on a freelance basis.
Mm-hmm. So, like they do with you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've left
Right now, yeah. You know, this new Mouseketeer program, I did Jiminy Cricket's voice and Donald's voice in the introduction part of it. Just, hey there, hi there, ho there, you're as welcome as can be. I never wanted to do Jiminy Cricket's voice. Cliff Edwards was living. They said, well, he wasn't capable of living. I didn't like to take work from anybody. Just didn't like doing it. But they said he isn't capable, so I did it, and then he died. My voice, I guess my speaking voice is fairly close to his, I don't know, but I did it. In fact, just one time when I recorded it, the first time down there, and then they played it back, and I heard both voices, and I didn't know which is which. I don't mean to brag, but it was so close, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was me. And
well, he did such a good, strong character.
Yeah,
to
then,
copy.
Then Donald said something to Mickey, and I was wondering if I was going to get enough to pay for this. The casting director called me up a couple of days later, and he told me, I says, I don't want that check until I'm 72. It's the biggest check I ever got from Disney Studios. 80 stations it went out on.
Yeah, I got a call about 2 years ago. They were doing, it was from Jerry Geronimo, as I recall, who was an old Disneyite. They were doing something like some little tiny angels of Goofy. He said, can you come in and do some little tiny Goofy voices? I said, well, what's a tiny Goofy voice? Well, I'll come over, let's experiment, let's fool around with it, let's play with it. So, we take something, and I never heard back from him or whatever, but you do a little tiny voice and it can't be Goofy. They wanted it to sound like Goofy. We tried some things, regular Goofy, which they speeded up. you lost it all together in a speed up. And that was the only call I ever got from Disney.
Oh.
And I never tried to pursue it from there. Jack Lavin called me one time to do a Christmas thing, a magic show, my country western magic act. And I couldn't do it. It was one of those last minute things, the Disney Christmas party. I said, I'm sorry, I've got another booking. I think it was his assistant, some girl, because Jack was a very nice guy. I had met him. And so the following year, I called him well ahead of time and said, you want me for the Christmas party? No. Period. No explanation. Mm-hmm. So they've always sort of had that attitude once you turn down at Disney.
Yeah. Well,
I will edit this tape down. And you can each have a copy here. You can have a copy. Grim gets a copy.
Well, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. But for your own fun. Oh, you're trying to get that, retrieve that?
Oh, I'm all around.
He's tied up in your mind.
You're tied up on mine.
Oh, is this yours?
Well, listen, when I returned from Florida, I was walking down, I don't know, Vine Street or something.
Oh, here, around this way.
And,
that's it, thanks. I'll pull it.
I saw,
just put it on it.
Pinto's name, I guess. He was doing a clown thing, and I went in out of curiosity. It is a big kind of a store building filled up with mothers and their kids. All of a sudden, Pinto came out. As
he did a lot of PAs as Bozo, yeah.
Well, what was, who was subsidizing that?
Okay, Capitol Records started the Bozo thing just to sell records, and it became so popular that they asked Dad to do the Bozo Live and go around to department stores, to go to various public functions where they were trying to attract kids or entertain. And he was doing them all over the country.
Capitol Records paid for that, didn't they?
Capitol Records paid him.
Or it publicized the records.
Well, yeah, but he was paid by Capitol Records. First on a per show or per trip basis or whatever. And then he was under contract to them on a retainer, plus when he was on the road as expenses. Then anytime he would cut a record, of course, that was a separate payment thing under AFTRA. And then he wrote several singles.
Bozo things?
Bozo.
Those are songs, were they?
Yeah, he wrote, I forget which ones he wrote, and then he got royalties on those.
Uh-huh.
I think one was called, I think he did it as Bozo, My Mule Charlie. And in the meantime, now he's doing other kid records for Capitol. Not as Bozo, just doing various voices. Honkity Hank was one he wrote about a funny automobile. My Mule Charlie was another one he wrote about, I guess, a mule. And these were for kid albums. And they might have been done with the Bozo voice. I'm not sure. I don't remember. But those involved payments under ASCAP or BMI, whatever it was.
What I was leading to a minute ago was maybe you can try a quick impromptu for yourselves for the tape. Would you like to try a little Goofy and Donald?
Why, let's give it a go.
Let me bring the microphone up and I can give you better. Actually, I don't need this.
I did Donald's nephews, too.
Yeah, I remember.
Should I get out of your way?
Nope, I'm fine right here. I'm better if I...
Hi, boys. How are you today? Oh, we're fine. I don't know.
Okay, yeah. Now we can try some.
Yeah, well, something. You start something. You start something. We'll see what we
fall off. Oh, Donald, gee whiz, you look mighty fine today. You're a cute little guy.
Oh, thank you, Goofy. It's nice to visit with you today. We've had a very nice time.
Oh, gee, thank you very much, Donald. It's real nice to have you drop by our house here and visit.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I hope we can see each other sometime again. We're going to play golf.
What'd you say?
You guys can play golf.
Can you take off?
No. Play golf.
Play golf?
Yeah.
Gee, I guess I can play golf. I don't know. I've never tried.
You don't understand your English. You don't understand your English.
Well, yes, I do. Sure, I'd be a fine golf player.
Well, let's go play golf someday.
Except I like to chase the ball.
Well, that's fun. I like to go fishing, too.
Yeah, I like fish, too.
Yeah. Well, we can do that.
Okay.
So did you bring your nephews with you?
Oh, yes. Come over here, Huey. Hi, Uncle Dyer. Listen here now. I want you to behave today. I'll try to. You better. Oh, I'll paddle you.
You'll do that. Ha, ha, ha,
ha. Ha, ha, yeah. Oh, boy.
Does hear a little Mickey?
Huh?
The Mickey sounds great.
Hey, Mickey, that is Mickey. Hey, Mickey dropped into our doghouse here today.
Yeah, I thought I'd come over and see what's going on.
Yeah. Hey, did you bring Minnie with you?
Oh, no. She stayed home today. She's inviting me over to have dinner tonight.
You better behave when you're over there, Mickey.
Well, I always behave.
Well, I don't know about that.
Gee whiz, they're pretty well behaved.
Isn't that fun? That's great. How about a little bitty boop?
I never did the voice.
I know, I'm just kidding. Just kidding you.
Who did the voice of Betty Boop?
That gal, that picture of her.
Make
she's
Questel.
One of them.
Yeah.
But
May Questel did most of them.
Who? Yeah. May Questel, she's in this.
Yeah. But
she does.
They never used, people have told me in the past, and I didn't think it was true, that Lee Bonnie Baker at one time had done the voice.
She had done some, yeah.
Did she?
Yes. Yeah.
We met Bonnie down in Florida, 10 years ago or so, and she's still singing, what's her?
I think it was longer than 10 years, Ben.
Okay, that doesn't matter, the main part. What was the number she was singing?
Oh, Johnny.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Joe, Johnny, oh,
yeah.
Johnny. Oh, yes, the old timer. I can still hear her singing that.
Yeah.
Say, yeah, I would like to before I go. We didn't get you in movies. I thought that, too, you know, could you pose for a little bit, or is it taking too much time?
Not at all, sure.
Yeah, let's do something here. We'll put this back in.
I don't know
before
if
we
got light.
We have to have a light now.
Yeah, I wanted to share something that Dawes told me about Pinto. And I don't know if he mentioned to you on the phone or not, but one thing he said is that he would go through periods of time where he wouldn't see Pinto for years, let's say, and all of a sudden he'd run into him on the Hollywood Boulevard somewhere,
yeah.
And he'd pick up a conversation almost as if they had no 3 years apart. Yeah, he would just, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was very, as you say, kind of.
Almost mid-sentence, if they'd been interrupted 3 years before. Anyway, Dawes, as I was telling you, we were having a
yeah,
he'd just go right on. He would do that with phone conversations, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you say, call me. He loved to call. He loved to do things for people. He was just an ultra-kind guy. And when I was starting to do the Bozo thing over KTLA, and he watched the show and come with suggestions and all, which were good and valid because he tried things, knew what worked and what didn't work. And then he'd mention something and we'd yak on the phone, and I called him frequently, and like all the brothers did, or he'd call us. Then maybe a month later, he would revert back to a conversation we might be, for instance, had about the show. In the meantime, we might have had 9 other conversations about other things. But hi, Lance. Yeah, gee whiz. Anyways, we were talking about that funny prop. When were we talking? That was 6 or 7 conversations ago. But he's back on it and would go right on from there.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'd like to see him, Dawes. You tell him all for me.
I sure will. I don't know how. Yeah, and it used to be that in TV or radio, everybody would see everybody else in the business almost every day. There was ABC, NBC down the corner here, CBS a block and a half down the street, and then Nicodil's right in between. And
well,
three deep at the bar that night could catch up on the day's activities.
Used to go there and eat a lot.
Yeah. Now the studios, as they had to expand, as they got into more production, moved to Burbank, they're shooting stuff in Culver City and all that. So the old gang who almost used to live together, we don't see each other nearly as frequently. There might be a year might go by that you don't see Dawes or somebody else. That's why doing this radio show is so much fun. It's bringing a lot of old friends together.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, I used to do so much radio work over here. I was on several programs and with Burns and Allen, with Amos and Andy, and several others. What I did too was Happy Little Wash Day song, you know, Red So White. And there was one eating place that there'd got to be a chain of them, and all that was, they had the best foods there.
So that Dupars?
Dupars.
Yeah.
I don't think they're up to par like they used to be.
No, they're not.
You're talking about the one on Ventura Boulevard?
Well, there was one where a Chinese restaurant is now, near Hollywood and Vine.
I think that
was the first one.
Sometimes I'd be over, I was on Bob Burns programs too, and there were several times I'd have to come over and rehearse, you know, and then we'd do the show any day, so I'd be here all afternoon. And I'd have lunch and still have time before we rehearse again and go on the show. And I'd always go to the Outpost Western movies.
Yeah.
I used to watch them and see how many flaws are in it. But in those days, you know, the old Western days, you wouldn't see auto tracks in some of these places or plane, you know, clouds or things like that. And golly, it was funny, you know.
The hitching post.
Huh?
The hitching post.
That was
yeah.
All westerns, you know. Oh, I got a bang out of those.
Yeah.
Just to amuse myself, I'd go there.
Would it help to have this light on for your film?
Oh yeah, we'd have to have this.
Let's turn that on and all other available light.
Yeah, just get something we can maybe do a little more of a talk or something. It's surprising how much it'll be.
Is it really?
We'll have to kind of get in here, or maybe you get in here and I'll be over on this side. This is just a little bit here, about 5 or 10 feet or something. Just to get a Colvig in here. You know, last time
gotta get a Colvig in.
I saw your brother, I think, up in Oakland or someplace when I was on this tour. Hey, you know that time I was on that tour promoting something?
I'll let you hold this security check.
No, we don't even just lay it down.
It's, no, it's not going to record?
Yeah, any place. Just.
You mean it'll pick it up?
Oh, yeah.
This is
just to set it loud or something like that, I think.
I wanted to ask you something, Ducky. I know, because it's been repeated to me, Cal Howard, for instance, who I worked with on Truth or Consequences and some other guys, saying, geez, your dad, all he ever used to do was, you know, talk about, we'd get in these story sessions and Pinto would start talking either about his old circus days or about Jacksonville and all the nutty things that used to happen up there in Jacksonville, Oregon.
Yeah.
And or his circus days, or every time we'd bring up a story point, he'd say, Yeah, I remember something like that happened back there in Jacksonville, or with the old algae barn circus, or whatever, and I'm sure you were exposed to a lot of that also.
Oh yes, at times, a lot of things. Of course, mostly, so many people that I've met out here used to be in the Chautauqua and Lysenburg.
Yeah.
We used to have a lot of gatherings of that. Now, we don't have that so much now. John Quallen, you know, he's played many parts in pictures. He was the father of Dion Quince. And so on. We used to meet at Erickson's home. They lived in Altadena, then they moved to Glendale. And there'd be sometimes, 50 or 60 of us, once a month. One time we had a greater gathering there and had more fun in that work. It's strange that we could never get Edgar Bergen to come, because he started in that work.
Yeah, that's right, he did.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I gotta have to leave now. How's it? Could you see? Did it show pretty well? Yeah, I think so. I appreciate this.
Well, Clark Legum, we sure appreciate
it's fun
you
to
coming by.
Get over here. And yeah, I'll turn it off.
A magic machine.
You know, that's quite a thing. We get it's pretty good. Shoots pretty good. I'm not really great at it yet, but
well,
I have
your
something.
Lens cap here.
Yeah, thanks. You know, I had this out of Disneyland one time, and I'm shooting this. Have you been out there to see America Sings or anything like that?
No, there? I haven't been there for years.
If you want to sometime, my wife and I'll take you out, you and your wife out to Disneyland. Same with you too, Grim, if you'd ever want to go out to Disneyland. I have my pass.
You and your pass, great.
A silver pass.
That you have.
Well, yeah.
Too, now I don't have to, although this last time I was out there, there were over 65,000 people out there the other day.
Yes.
And I couldn't park up close like I used. I have that privilege now of parking up closer. But boy, I've never been out there with such a crowd. And the time before the last out there, I've never been out there where there were so few people. And it was cold both days I was out there.
Yeah, I was out there the opening day, that big press party. Yeah. I remember my kid, who's 32 now, was probably 5 years old.
Well, this
and it was such a crowd that by gosh, if a fire or something had started, there would have been.
Well, I was shooting this stuff, you know, in that America Sings, and at one part where I really wanted, because I knew I'd get a good picture, I forgotten I had the damn lens on and got all the sound. I got it blocked, and I wanted to cut that out. Margie says, "No, we're going to. I want that song anyway." So someday I think I'll take this camera out again. Every once in a while a guy can forget he's got the lens on.
Yeah, you sure can.
I'd like to come down there.
But some of my stuff is pretty good. I'm very amateurish yet, but once in a while I get something that's...
Is out there too? Dallas out there?
I've got some film to pick up today.
Are you in the telephone directory, Ducky?
In the Glendale. There's a Clarence Nash. You remember Jack Campbell, animator? He called me up one night. He wanted to call me up one time, and he looked in a Los Angeles directory in a very southern drawl. I'll tell you, there is another Clarence Nash.
Roy Cabot.
He's black.
I'll be darned.
He's black, by golly. I got some of his mail one time, a mistake, and I could tell somehow or other that even the writing was...
Well, it turned out when we wrote to Dave Smith to ask him...
Even the writing was black.
Yeah, it was. I was thinking that too when I said that. Well, the funny thing is,
it turns out we have more.
Oh yeah.
And it's from Oklahoma. Of course, I'm from Oklahoma, and I thought, gosh, who do I know in Oklahoma? And he says, you tell your boss that he could pay my way out there, and then I'll pay him back when I go to work. Something like that was in this letter, see. And then I hear, I was telling you about hearing from a cousin that I've never heard from, but very distant relative, of course, from Indiana. And of course, he's going on trees, so I wrote back to him telling about this Clarence Nice, and I put down, and this one over there is black, question mark, exclamation points, and all that. He got a big kick out of it.
Yeah.
He said, of course, so in those days, sometimes they had slaves, and they would take the slaves. The slaves would take the master's names. And he said that, too, could maybe some niches were noted to stray away. There is a town in Oklahoma called Nashville.
Named after your...
And when I traveled, well, it was named after our family. And I wasn't sure of it, but I told some of the members of my company, we played in Nashville 55 years ago about that time, and in show business. And I said, this name after my family.
Well,
it was just altogether serious.
Oh, really?
But I found that it was. And a postmaster, and gosh, if I had known, I never even looked up anybody any niches there, because we were there just on one night and on our way. It's Lyceum. Lyceum is fall and winter, and Chautauqua is summer. We played in Chautauqua tents. And at Lyceum, so we were there just that next. But the postmaster of Nash, Oklahoma, was Clarence Nash. Not the black man. And my father never told me about him.
This is Paul, Mike.
The next time you make it our way?
Oh,
give Marjorie a call.
I hope so. Next time, by golly, I will. I want to see you.
Doing something that you may be interested in. Vance is going to come back up when we're finished. We're doing the Children's Museum.
Oh,
with hands on.
When are you coming up there? Maybe we can all go up together.
I'm going up probably about the time the museum is finished. They haven't got it together yet.
Let's
the building's one, all up.
Let's
and
go when it's warm. I want to drive my camper up. You know, we lived in our camper on all those school assembly tours. So we did stay it all the time. We go to motels now and then. I love Oregon. The only thing is, I don't like about it, when I go along a rogue river and I'm fishing, I get those damn ticks. I get 3 ticks on my leg one day. One day.
A lot of great fish in the river.
Yeah. Some of it you can read because it's in the light.
Could I have you sign this?
Oh,
one?
Yeah.
Jordan drew for me?
Yeah, that's, You know, when I was at the Comic Con, I met this fellow who was drawing Howard the Duck. And while I was working with my ventriloquist dummy, he drew himself, a caricature of him and a caricature of me holding the duck, and then this Howard saying something. That's kind of cute. I never cared much for Howard.
This one's for a museum I want to start. So
yeah,
not,
I wish I'll put
not
it right
to
here.
Paul on this one.
Best wishes again, huh?
Should yeah, like but you? Not to Paul.
Huh?
But don't make it personalized.
Oh, just say Clarence Nash?
Yeah.
Oh. Donald Duck, Clarence Nash. Sincerely, huh?
Thanks.
What are you doing, Margie? You're so domestic.
What?
You're so domestic.
I'm trying to earn my keep around here.
Oh, come on. You don't have to.
Soon, Marge, you'll have to come back and see my collection in my museum, one of these days.
Oh, that should be interesting.
I'm working on it. Keeping it in mind.
They were, when I was on that tour, going and doing the school assemblies, going through Oregon, it was late at night, before I got to Roseburg, and they were working on that highway, the new freeway there.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, those roads were terrible way back in the 30s.
Yeah, it's great now.
Yeah, it was pretty, you know, and I could smell skunk, and I saw more darn skunks killed on that road that night. You know, we have skunks come in our yard.
Oh, we have them here.
Yeah, in our backyard we did. And one time I called my car back just fine. Yeah, I live right above the golf course. That's why I mentioned golf.
Ah.
And I take my dog for a walk. One day I wasn't even looking for them. I picked up 6 golf balls. I never had to buy any golf balls at all.
Yeah.
I just bought a new set of clubs, match clubs.
Did you mention Jack Campbell or is it Jack Ham?
Jack Ham.
Oh, not
and Jack Cuddy. Oh, no. Jack Campbell. Oh, yeah. Jack Campbell was an animator.
Yes, he worked with me.
Yeah, I mentioned him.
Is he still living?
I don't think so. He's not at the studio. I don't know why. But he called me up or something, and he couldn't get me.
Do you have any idea about when you would like to refer
the wrong direction?
Huh?
Oh,
yeah, the wrong director.
I can either give it to Vance or I can send it directly on to you.
Of course, my name is only
I would think about
So I'll see you again.
Well, I'll give it to you while you're here.
It doesn't take long to do.
I'm still going to keep this bottle.
I can't refill it. I've got two machines to talk to each other.
Yeah, when I was on this tour, I was promoting something that the studio didn't arrange it, but there was something with Disney characters on it, a viewing thing. And I went to Boston for it, and several
this part I used to.
And then my wife met me in Chicago, and then we went to Kansas City, and it 3 weeks. And oh yeah, they wrote for me and sent me a picture of this product, and I was away when I came back. They said, call it here when you can, San Francisco, this agency. And so I called them, and they said, and then they asked me how much I'd charge on that certain thing in mind. I thought, I'll ask them. I mean, I thought to myself, well, what, let me hear from you first. She said, well, say we'll start at 1,000. I says, we'll stop at that. That's the first time I ever made $1,000 a week.
Was my brother involved in that?
No, but he happened to see here in town. I was appearing at some store. He came over.
What town was that? San Francisco?
He's selling, was with some cars or agency, or was it, I don't remember what it was. Maybe not that. I think it was in Oakland or,
must have been my brother Mason. Or
Mason. Bill, it was Mason, yeah. And I finally got to stay at the Mark Hopkins.
That's a nice
one. Oh, what a place, yeah. And we stayed there for several days. I can't remember this agency, but gee whiz. I would much rather, I'm sorry I didn't even take it for less, although I did make some money on it, but to me, to lose 5 months Social Security check, I missed those. Because I made $1,000 a week, and that's why I told
you. When
I got this thing for doing Jiminy Cricket's voice and Donald's voice on the, for this Mouseketeers, I decided that I wanted that. We worked it out.
Did you agree? Have you washed my name?
We have a washroom.
Well, we've got to go. Nice to meet you. I'll sure look you up next time, by
God. You better. I'll help you.
Yeah, I did it.
Practice this on some type.
I, Clarence, is leaving.
The equipment bearer is.
Come see us sometime.
I'm going to get the books here in the Glendale book. And I'm going to
249-2688. I don't have any
of my cards. I know where to find
it. I have a real estate license, but I'm not fooling around with it. Now, the prices are so darn ridiculous. I hate to see anybody buy a home.
I don't feel that way. I've got a license, too. Selling the hell out of it.
Are you really?
Sure.
That's what he does now.
Well, I tell you, I'm more interested in my gold prospecting, fishing, Rock County. I don't have time for any of that.
Good.
Well,
that's great.
This is, to me, I feel healthier, too. I'm not in God's country, you know. I haven't had any luck here lately, fishing like I used to, though. Too many people.
Oh, you're like I do, dynamite the stream.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you one time, this guy I went fishing with up in Northern California, four of us, our wives. He had a special rod made for him, only weighs 4 ounces. And anybody that fishes would put a worm on a hook sucks eggs. And so I didn't want to put a worm on a hook. And I didn't have a fly outfit, but I rigged up something else in the box. There's bubbles that stay.
So you should have pointed them to the sandbox.
I got a long beard to put a fly on.
Put some newspapers down for me.
4¾-pound steel. They all ran 4¾ pounds that time. He caught two. He said the biggest thrill he ever had. And the guy at this trailer park where we stayed, he shot a picture of me holding two of these steelheads. And by God, he put that on his brochure.
I got it to prove that I caught them.
You caught them.
I'd catch one and then now and then I wouldn't have any luck, so I'd pan and find a little gold. Whoops, is this way out there?
Yeah, I was to leave this out of my bone up here.
Well, we'll see ya.
Nice to meet you, Clarence.
Bye bye. Stereophonic.
I learned something new today. Hearing him do it.
Yeah, I said we're
what kind of car? Just Donald Duck. See, I still think of him as Donald Duck. I still think of Vance as Bozo.
From his perspective?
Yes. Yeah, because I was he was the Bozo that I watched when I was old.
His nickname was Ditch, because he's Vance Jr.
Really?
That's the family's.
Ready, Graham?
Maybe.
Go ahead.
I'm the equipment bearer.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
You know, like Christmas look.
I just know that Vance and Marjorie, I know, enjoyed it so much. Nice to meet you.
Thanks.
Bye.
I'll be right back.
Okay.
I just pulled the door to it.
Paul Mayer's Children's Television Archive.